Thank you, Ben, for greeting me with that big yawn. He's going to explode now all around him. You know they're catchy. That's how I feel this morning. It's a busy weekend. Excuse me, I went up to Defiance this weekend. It's the first time I've been up there since Christmas, so I felt kind of bad. But I was on my way up there and just felt a little nostalgic. And I kind of felt that way this morning. And, you know, it's just, I don't know about all of you, but it's just nice to be together on Sundays. It's nice to see everybody. I wish we were able to be together more often. I wish we lived closer together. We just live spread out all over the place. But in a lot of ways, I feel like that reinforces our gatherings on Sunday, where we genuinely are glad to see each other. And so it is good to be here. And I know this time of year especially, I'm reminded of that because we're gone so much. Everybody is kind of here and there. Greg Carhoff called me this week and he said, "Man, I just want to let you know I'm still alive. We haven't left." Oh, no, what did he say? "Oh, we're not on strike," is what he said. But, you know, you just feel that way. You miss a couple weeks and it's like, man, I haven't seen folks for forever. So we're going to be gone next week. And we just always hate to be gone. And the stupid baseball league, Clark has been gone a lot. I know he misses being here. Mary Beth misses being here. But we press on. We press on. So, you know, what do you tell a group of people who have their backs against the wall, who are tired, who have been giving it their all and are about to give up, starting to question whether they can keep going, question whether the whole thing is worth it, question whether they have the ability to do it. What do you tell somebody in those situations, especially when it's just not one person, it's a whole group of people who are facing a lot of challenges, facing a lot of difficulties? That's pretty much the context that Peter writes these letters into. What do you tell somebody? And, you know, in a lot of ways, I started thinking about these letters, and I hope you've had the chance and the opportunity to read through 1 and 2 Peter at least a little bit the last couple of weeks. Got a couple of weeks left in this this month where we'll be talking about this. By the way, Anthony Whitley is going to be here next week to fill in, so looking forward to hearing how he expounds. I think he's going to reflect on 1 and 2 Peter. But in a lot of ways, that's the context of these letters. And we have them kind of saved for us at the end of the Gospels, or at the end of the New Testament. And we may not be dealing in our lifetimes with the same types of things that the people in the time of Peter were dealing with. Might is probably not even the right word. We won't be dealing, okay, right? We live in a different time, in a different era. We won't be facing the same things that the Gentiles were facing when Peter writes these letters. But the sentiment, the feeling is one that we understand. We understand what it's like to be tired. We understand what it's like to doubt. We understand what it's like to question whether or not our faith is really important to us or worthwhile or as powerful as what we imagine. And in all of us, in the ebbs and flows of life, and maybe especially so for a small church like ours in the summer when everybody's gone and it just seems kind of stagnant and we feel like, man, there's just so much. You know what you need? You need a pep talk, right? That's what we need. We all need a pep talk every once in a while. And I think in a lot of ways, that's what Peter is. These two letters are kind of Peter's pep talk to the people. And I'm not a good pep talk guy, so I don't know how well I can do this, but that's what Peter is doing to the people. He's trying to fire them up. And I don't know about you, and I know Coach is back there, and a lot of you have played sports. And then if you don't play sports, there's been lots of movies that portray these great moments, right, when somebody comes up and he just captures the crowd, and whether it's a team in the locker room or whether it's an army preparing for battle, there are those great scenes. And in professional sports nowadays, they even have the coaches mic'd a lot of times before the game. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm watching those and I get so fired up just listening to them, right? They're just those people that have that ability to just go in and you know, coaches or a team captain or somebody that can just do that. Well, I found this clip of video and it has several of those kind of things here. And
will you fight? Now! Will you fight? Now! We will right! We will left!
Amen, you!
It's going to be the greatest night of our lives. But you're going to let it be the worst.
And I guarantee if we won't go find your life, you won't regret walking out letting them get the best of it.
Well, I'm not going home.
Got too far!
And I'm gonna stay right here and fight for this long cause.
The day may come when the courage of men fails, but it is not this day.
Yeah. This far, no far.
I'm not saying
you're gonna work harder than you ever worked before.
But that's fine, we'll just get tougher with it.
A person grits his teeth and shows real determination.
Failure is not an option.
That's how winning is done.
Believe me when I say
we can break this army here.
And we just won for the giver.
Look, I say to you, what every warrior has known since the beginning of time.
You've got to get mad.
I mean, plumb mad dog me.
If you would be free then you must fight to fulfill that promise. Let us
cut out their living guts 1 inch at a time.
And they will know what we can do.
No man forget how menacing we are. We are lions.
Like a big bear.
This is your time. Ease the day. Never.
Victory or death.
Who's with me?
Clap! Clap! Don't let me die! Clap!
All right!
Clap!
Gentlemen in England, now dead.
Oh no! My name is the Lord! When I tell Arryn
that they may take our lives, but they'll never take
our Independence Day!
I just thought that was fantastic. I was trying to find one, you know, and there were so many, and then I found that one. I was like, oh, that's, I think there were 40 different movies in there. But so many of the movies we watch have that, and you're watching them, and you're like shaking in your seat, like, I want to go do something. And that's what Peter's letters are. They're one of those just go out there, and you want to run through at halftime and go out there. And I know Ray's been involved in football games, and you go out sometimes, and one team got that talk, and the other one didn't, and they just go out and get their butt kicked just because there's just emotion and there's passion in that. And the goosebumps that maybe we get when we're watching games or we're watching speeches like that, that's the type of goosebumps we're supposed to get when we read 1st and 2nd Peter. So we've been spending the last couple weeks in 1st Peter. This morning we're going to kind of make the transition and take a look at 2nd Peter. And I think that some of the encouraging words in 2nd Peter are some of the most just powerful and hype up kind of stuff in all the New Testament. I don't know if any of you follow, I know some of you are Buckeye fans in the fall. And Ohio State has an entire, I don't know if it's a full-time staff person or what, but puts together a hype video. They've done it the last couple years for the upcoming game, just to get people excited about it. I'm sure they're not the only ones, but you know, here in town, and so it'll kind of go around the web, and it, you're just supposed to watch it and get goosebumps and just go, I can't wait, right? And sometimes you just need that. Sometimes you just need a little pep talk, a little bit of a reminder, and it's kind of, you know, and we all kind of react or respond differently in different ways, but it seems like all of us at one time or another, we need somebody in our face saying, you can do this. Keep going. It's the guy in the gym who's trying to get up his personal best of 125, Mike Schreiber, the first time, right? And he just, finally somebody yells and gets in his face enough to just go, yeah, I can do it! And Peter's not talking about working out in the gym or going on the game. He's talking about the spiritual life. And there was real life persecution they were facing. And it was real life challenges and obstacles. And so 2 Peter gets at this. And I think when you put it in that context, the words that follow are incredibly powerful. Now it's a letter, so it starts off like a letter. The very beginning of 2 Peter says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who, through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Okay, so that's kind of the sincerely and dear so-and-so. This is the content of the letter. So what do you tell, my first question this morning, what do you tell a group of people who are facing persecution, who are facing obstacles? This is the reason why I think it resonates so well with sports, because through the movies, you know, you can always picture a team that just got their butt kicked in the first half coming into halftime and they're all down. And we've seen so many movies where a coach comes up and tries to fire them up. And that's kind of what I think this letter's about. Peter's trying to fire up the Christians. Some of them are ready to give up. Some of them want to turn back. And so it's interesting the very first thing he says. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Now, this doesn't have a lot to do with what I want to talk about this morning, but I can't read that scripture and not think about church camp. And I know Ben and the Lewises and our kids were all at camp a couple weeks ago, and I was kind of jealous because I didn't go this year. And I don't talk about church camp probably enough because it had such a formative impact in my life growing up. When I look back at kind of the journey that God took me through, the church camp that I attended over in Indiana was just pivotal in my faith development. And every time I read this verse, my mind just kind of goes back to that camp. Because there was a song that I listened to a lot back in those days, and it comes right out of this verse. So I asked Blind Mike to go ahead and play this, and it's a couple minutes long, but here's the reason I want to play it this morning. Is because I think that this verse has so much in it. Like, there is so much content and so much implications for what this verse has. And if you're struggling and if you're trying to just bumble along day after day, this is the verse that I think really deserves a lot of reflection and a lot of meditation. And I think this song will kind of help us through it. And so listen to the words of this song, and you can follow along if you have your Bible, and just kind of listen and let those words internalize a little bit for a minute.
Knowledge of Him who called us by His
I really like that song. It would have been late 90s, mid to late 90s sometimes. Sometimes acapella was the group, but that, you know, it was just a song, and I remember, and I've said this before, it was one of the songs that I knew well before I knew the scripture, and then later on I'm reading the Bible, I'm like, I know that! I know, that's right on the Bible. But I love this song so much because it has a message that I need to hear so much. You know, and maybe this analogy doesn't work for you, but I just keep thinking of a halftime and all these guys are just down and out. And I just really think that's what Peter's reading into or writing into the context where just everybody just feels just exhausted. And I think about our culture and I think about our church and I think about all of you and I think about me. And there are just so many times that I just feel that way. Now, I know that their situation was their situation and ours is different. And the reasons we feel that way are maybe different. But we still feel that way. It's like talking to your spouse, especially if you're a guy like I am, who always wants to just listen to what my wife is saying and try to fix whatever the problem is. But sometimes you just have to listen to the issue, right, or the feeling. You can't help the way you feel. And we feel, I think, a lot of times the way that the people that Peter was writing to feel. We feel defeated. We feel overwhelmed. We feel stretched to the max. And I think if there's any message that we need to hear, His divine power has given us everything we need. Like, it's fascinating. What do you say to a group of people who are downtrodden? He doesn't go in and say, this is what you've got to do. He doesn't start there. He doesn't start with, hey, it's kind of like, if you want to use the analogy of sports again, remember the drills, remember the things we taught you, remember the practices, remember the game plan. He doesn't say any of that stuff. He gets there in a minute, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. Of course, that's important. But he starts by telling them what they already have. It's like this calm and gentle but powerful reminder, hey, God has already given you everything you need. And I don't know about all of you, but I got to be reminded of that a lot. God has already given you everything you need for life and godliness. Through our knowledge of Him who called us, by His own glory and goodness. And then he goes on in the next verse. This is really some of the most theologically deep stuff in the whole New Testament. It really is. The fact that He has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. But then also, listen to verse 4. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Maybe it's easy to just kind of read over that, but when you slow down a little bit and you consider what he's saying that we may participate in the divine nature. It's the only time that phrase appears in the New Testament. That we may participate in the divine nature. Again, it's this reiteration of the promise that we already have. Before he gets into talking about what you got to go do or what you got to, you know, go back to the gym and work out, because I think that's kind of what he's going to eventually get into. It's kind of a spiritual gym that we need to work out. But before any of that, he wants to remind the people and he wants to remind us of what we already have. He's already given us the ability, He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. To the point that we can participate in the divine nature. Another disciple, or another one of the apostles, the Apostle John, from what Ruth read earlier, says in 1 John 4:4, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Kind of another way of saying the same thing, that God is somehow a part of us. We're created in His image, and upon giving our lives to Him, His Spirit indwells us. And so somehow we're participants of the divine. That is crazy stuff. That's deserving of a little bit of reflection and meditation. He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. He's allowed us to be participants in the divine. That is powerful stuff. And so he starts there. Kind of an inspiration, get you fired up message. And then he says, okay, and there's some stuff you got to do. Now, let's remember our workouts. Let's remember the game plan. Let's remember of how we do this. And so he goes on, and we want to talk just for a minute about these things, and I think there's a little bit of value in just kind of focusing on each tenet here. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. Now, let's start by acknowledging the fact that he's saying, make every effort to add to your faith. So he starts with faith. Well, why does he start with faith? Because faith is a presupposition for everything else. He's just said that. His divine power has given you everything you need, but you've got to have faith if that's the case before you go any further. So he says, okay, the presupposition, you begin with faith. Either you believe or you don't. And there's not a lot that anybody else can do to help you. You know, we'll encourage you, we'll work with you, we'll give you proof, we'll give you evidence, we'll give you testimony, whatever. But in the end, it's up to each individual to just say, I believe or I don't. And once you take the first step of belief, that gets you in the locker room now. And Peter says, okay, now to your faith, which is kind of the entryway, that's the door. When you're walking into the gym, above it, it says faith. You're walking into faith. Now, to your faith, add goodness. Add goodness. It's kind of an interesting word that he starts the list with, beyond faith. Goodness. Well, it's not surprising, and we're going to see that all of these things that he's calling us to do and calling the people to do refer back to the promise. Remember those verses there at the beginning? His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness, the knowledge of who called us by his own glory and what? It's the same word. By his own goodness. So it's our connection to God that gives us goodness, that lets us see what goodness is. And to your faith, you should add the goodness. Goodness is kind of a generic word. In some ways, we may be expecting a little bit more. Aren't we called to more than just being good? But when you stop and look at the world around us, man, if we could just do that. Like most of us have this indwelt understanding of what good is, and God says, now just go act on it. And when you see goodness not called out, then call it out and say, that's not good. Work toward goodness. Like, just start with the small things. You're not trying to change the world or bring world peace. Just bring a little goodness to your corner of the world, to your job, to your families, to the people you hang out with. Just be the good presence among them. And to your goodness, knowledge. Another word that showed up earlier. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us. God calls us to know Jesus better. Why do you think we focus so much on learning the Bible and having Bible classes and trying to study God's Word? Because that's one of the primary ways that we get to know him. And so, kind of working out in the spiritual gym is a commission to get to know him better. To know who Jesus is and try to emulate your life. And to knowledge, self-control. So now he begins to get into how we handle ourselves, how we confront persecution, how we confront difficulties, how we confront challenges. Remember, this is a locker room speech to a group of people who are struggling a little bit. And he says, hey, by the way, you've got to learn some self-control. These two kind of words work together, to self-control and to self-control perseverance. It's like one of these big fiery coaches getting in the face of his players saying, you can do it. Like, you can do it. Peter's writing to a group of people who says, I don't know that we can do it. And Peter says, you can do it. Because you know the one who's done it. And so you can do it. You gotta commit to persevering. Perseverance isn't a word that translates very easily into our culture. You know, we're more like sitting in our car like, oh, it's hot. Turn that air conditioning up right away. I want this warmed up right away. Like, we don't persevere through much of anything. It's really one of the great admirable things about sports and physical fitness. It's one of the few areas where there is actually a commitment to perseverance. And Peter is saying, you need some spiritual perseverance. You know, and I think a lot of us have been there. Jesus shares a parable about this in the New Testament. Hey, there are going to be people who are going to hear the message and they're going to go, this is great. But then when the trials come and the temptations come, they're going to go, this was great, but I don't know anymore. Peter speaks into that and he says, no, but you gotta persevere. You've got to learn self-control. We don't live like heathens who just go and do whatever we want. Hedonists or heathens. We live like people who have control of ourselves. We don't live like animals who just have to pursue every urge and impulse that we get by nature. Persevere. And it's almost as though he senses, when he's dealing with self-control, it's almost like he senses everybody going, yeah, but it's so hard. And then so the next thing he says is, but you got to persevere. You got to go through the difficulties. There's so much in the scriptures about how if you endure, you get through the other side and it's worthwhile. Like, we know that, right? Nothing that comes easy, nothing that comes hard is, how was it? Nothing that comes, oh, I made it up, right? Something like that. I'll think of it later. There it is. Nothing worthwhile comes easy. See? I didn't just make it up. You're just all yawning from Ben. Persevere. It's really what we need these kind of speeches for, right? Just every once in a while, you just need somebody to just kick you in the rear end and go, okay, keep going. You're okay. You know? If you ever, I know some of you have been running, you know, if you're a runner, sometimes you need that, you know? 10 miles into a marathon, you just need people going, hey, just keep going. Keep going. You're going to be okay. That's what Peter does for us. To self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness. And look what he does again. He takes us back to those initial... You wondered why we spent so much time on those first couple verses. These words come right from those first verses. His divine power has given us everything you need for life and godliness. And Peter says, hey, to your perseverance, you need to add godliness. And he's already told you that godliness comes from Jesus, and so we're back to knowledge and knowing him who saves us. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And now he starts to kind of really get at the heart of what it means to be a Christian and what it means to be part of a church. You see, it's not just about growing deeper in your faith in some kind of transcendental way where, you know, we're just trying to enter into the deeper realms and it doesn't really affect everybody else. These last two bullet points from Peter's, you know, spiritual gymnasium are really about living our faith outwardly. So the Greek words are two of the more familiar ones. Brotherly love, which is the word Philadelphia, and love, which is the word agape. And so the two that he ends this series of kind of bullet points about, this is how you're going to keep going, and this is how we're going to make it, and this is how we're going to self-control and perseverance and godliness and goodness and all these other things. And then he gets to brotherly kindness and love. It's about the way you treat each other. It's about the way that you care for each other. That's like the big safety net around all of us, because we know we're going to struggle, and we know perseverance is difficult, and we know that self-control is this lifelong journey. And it's almost as though Jesus' message and the apostles' message through the New Testament is always the same. Just love each other. Just do that. Just love each other and care about each other. And the one message that probably comes from Christians most often who are really struggling is, I just don't feel loved. I just don't feel appreciated. I just don't feel included. And Peter says, that's what you're all supposed to be about. No one should feel that way, because we're all supposed to be there encouraging each other. We are Philadelphia, right? We are the city of brotherly love. We are the city where we are different than everybody else. It's the challenge and difficulty. And so he goes on in conclusion here. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I mean, I don't know about you, but that's a pretty powerful one to just end. You know, you're on the edge of your seats, and you're looking for, how's he going to wrap this thing up? You know, he goes on to talk about prophecy of Scripture next. I don't know how that fits into all this, but at least the beginning part is just this really fiery message. And then he talks about election and making sure that they hang in there. And if they just do these things, And he has reminded them, right? He started by reminding them that it wasn't about them, that they've already been given everything they need. And so then if they will just commit to these other things, you'll just do that, Peter says. You'll receive a rich welcome in the eternal kingdom of our Lord. And so this morning, as we read through these, I don't know which one of these bullet points really kind of speaks to you or makes a note of you. No doubt, all of us need a little bit of an energy or pep talk. All of us need encouragement. All of us need a little shake or kick in the pants. And I think that's what this opening part of this letter is really about. Just go out there, and we're just going to continue to grind at it. Continue to work at it. And be reminded that God has already given us everything that we need for life and godliness. It doesn't always feel like it. And it doesn't always look like it. And that's the reason why Peter had to write the letter. He wasn't writing to a bunch of people that are going, oh yeah, we got that. He's writing to a bunch of people who needed to hear that. Peter, we need to know that you've got us. Peter says, Christ has got you. He's already living inside of you. Each of us need to be kind of in the gym, right? Each of us need to be in the spiritual gym. And it's just like the real gym. You can't just set out to run 10 miles tomorrow if you haven't ran a mile in the last 10 years, right? You have to just take a couple baby steps. And I think that's the way that a lot of these things are. You know, maybe we haven't been practicing love the way we need to. Maybe we haven't been persevering the way we should. Maybe our understanding of godliness or our knowledge of Christ has just fallen aside because we're not spending a lot of time in the Word. I don't know what is on each of your hearts, but I know that the message from Peter is, you better start, right? Everybody's got to be all in to do that. And so I'd encourage you this week, spend a little bit more time in that first chapter and just look at those things and say, how am I persevering? How am I garnering self-control? How is godliness kind of erupting and living in my life? Go through all the goodness and all the other things that are mentioned there and internalize those, because if each of us do that, if each one of us is doing this individually and then collectively, our church is ignited into the community. It's a powerful promise that we've read this morning, that His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. This morning we're going to sing this song, and let's sing knowing that promise lives in each one of us. Because Brian picked a wonderful song. If we know that promise is there, how can we keep from singing? So stand up and we'll sing this together.